From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, March 20th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 25 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
Members of Maine's congressional delegation are among those blasting the long-awaited executive order from President Trump to dismantle the U.S. Department of Education. Senator Angus King said the attempt to unilaterally dismantle the DOE without consulting or engaging Congress is, quote, grossly unconstitutional and violates the checks and balances of our American system of government. King went on to say that the move would not be an improvement. Instead, he said it would cause untold damage in children's lives. Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree shares both of those views. In a statement, she said that the DOE was established by an act of Congress and dismantling it would also require congressional approval. Pingree called the president's move, quote, an attack on our kids, on parents, on communities, and on the very idea of public education. Pingree says Maine schools receive more than $250 million a year from the Department of Education, including $61 million for disadvantaged districts, and she predicted that the withdrawal of support will lead to higher property taxes. Votes on a new two-year budget were delayed in the Maine House today because of a partisan fight over an earlier reprimand of a Republican lawmaker. And as Kevin Miller reports, it came to a head in another vote.
It's been 3 weeks since Democrats in the Maine House voted to censure Representative Laurel Libby of Auburn over her Facebook posts featuring the name and pictures of a transgender high school athlete. The post put Maine in the national spotlight and in the Trump administration's crosshairs. But because Libby has refused to formally apologize, she's been prohibited under House rules from speaking or voting on the chamber floor. The issue came to a head Thursday after House Speaker Ryan Fecteau declined to allow Libby to discuss 10 amendments to a budget bill. Representative Billy Bob Falkingham, the Republican leader in the House, became emotional as he urged his House colleagues to cool down, end the parliamentary standoff, and allow Libby to speak.
Our country cannot survive if we continue down this path. The vitriolic fever embraced by some people on either side of the political aisle when addressing each other will only lead toward mutually assured destruction.
But Falkingham was apparently apologizing on Libby's behalf, but not at her behest. And Democrats, like Representative Daniel Sayer of Kennebunk, said they needed to hear an apology from Libby herself.
We should all understand cyberbullying is wrong. Cyberbullying a minor is doubly wrong. Sharing a minor's identifying information to facilitate threats and abuse is wrong. I didn't think I would have to say that on the floor of this chamber, but here we are.
The House ultimately voted 74-68 against lifting the censure. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Postal workers rallied today in Bangor and Portland to protest funding cuts, layoffs, and the potential privatization of the Postal Service. Tom Smith is with the local chapter of the American Postal Workers Union. He says shifting mail delivery to private companies would only make mail service slower and more expensive.
You know, the Postal Service is inexpensive. It's prompt. It's reliable. And especially in rural areas, you know, people count on the Postal Service for life-saving meds to grandma's latest batch of snickerdoodles.
At the same time, several dozen Maine Medical Center nurses and supporters rallied outside U.S. Senator Susan Collins' office in Portland earlier today to protest potential cuts to Medicaid. In a statement, Collins said she's committed to protecting Mainers who need access to Medicaid and pointed to her support for 5 measures in the Senate budget proposal aimed at preventing cuts to the program. President Donald Trump's executive order today to dismantle the Federal Department of Education may not be able to achieve its goals without congressional approval. That's according to Ezekiel Kimball, interim dean at the University of Maine College of Education and Human Development.
The complication here is that it would take an act of Congress to actually close the Department of Education. And there are a number of really high-profile Department of Education activities that by federal statute are supposed to be administered by the Department of Education.
Kimball says it's unclear what the changes will mean for Maine, but he says roughly 10% of public school budgets come from federal funding. Efficiency Maine has filed suit to restore millions of dollars in climate funding terminated by the Trump administration. As Peter McGuire reports, the agency says if it loses the money, it could have to limit home efficiency loans.
In a complaint filed in D.C. federal court, Efficiency Maine and agencies in three other states accuse the Environmental Protection Agency of illegally blocking $20 billion approved by Congress. The funding was dispersed to so-called green banks across the country to help finance clean energy and climate pollution reduction programs. According to the plaintiffs, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin blocked the funding based on unsupported claims of fraud, waste, and abuse in the program. Efficiency Maine says it is unable to access $25 million in funding. It says the disruption causes marketplace confusion, and losing the money completely will significantly undermine its future ability to help consumers pay for energy efficiency projects. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
State officials say Maine has successfully initiated its national milk testing surveillance program. The USDA is requiring the testing of raw milk bound for pasteurization after bird flu was found in raw milk in several states. Jim Britt, spokesman for the Maine Department of Agriculture, says nearly 90% of Maine dairy farms have been tested and results showed no HPAI virus in Maine's milk supply.
Any consumer, any of us who have any concerns about the safety of the food supply in Maine remains committed to early detection and monitoring for HPAI to ensure the health of Maine's dairy sector. We want to maintain consumer confidence.
Britt says all farms shipping raw milk will be tested by May, and sampling for bird flu will continue as a routine part of the state's quality testing. The Maine Department of Environmental Protection has issued a notice of violation to Mallinckrodt, formerly known as the Hultrachem Manufacturing Company. For several decades, the company manufactured caustic soda, chlorine bleach, hydrochloric acid, and other chemicals at its now defunct plant in Orrington, resulting in what the DEP calls, quote, significant mercury contaminations to soils, groundwater, and the nearby Penobscot River. The state's Board of Environmental Protection ordered the site cleaned up more than 15 years ago for protection of public health and the environment, and the department has been overseeing the process ever since. In a statement, the DEP says the company has failed to make meaningful progress for the past 2 years and expects that Mallinckrodt will, quote, immediately resume efforts to remediate the site consistent with Maine law and the department's orders. The company did not respond to a request for comment by airtime. The outdoor clothing company Patagonia is suing Maine-based salvage retailer Martin's, arguing the company knowingly sold counterfeit items. Caitlin Badion has more.
Filed in federal court this week, the lawsuit says Martin's Surplus and Salvage has sold fake Patagonia jackets and other products at its 13 retail locations across Maine. In the complaint, Patagonia says the, quote, visually identical products are likely to mislead consumers and are of an inferior quality to genuine items. In a Facebook post, Martin says the company unknowingly purchased the mislabeled down sweaters, which were invoiced as authentic Patagonia products. The company also encouraged shoppers that purchased the counterfeit items to return them for a full refund. Patagonia is asking the judge to order Martin's to turn over all counterfeit products and profits from the items already sold. Attorneys for Patagonia did not respond to a request for comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badion.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, a look ahead at High School Quiz Show. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.